You're listening to audio from North Monroe Baptist Church. To find out more about the church or donate to this ministry, visit northmonroe.com.
Good to be with you today. Pastor Bill is out today on vacation, so you got me, and you're free to leave if you need to. I get it. I always consider the privilege to preach in this pulpit, first time to be in this building, and it's a great place. I want to talk about Mary, Mother of Jesus, things she discovered, but I want to read you the passage of Scripture, give you a couple of thoughts before we get to my main points. But I don't know, you have to remember, Luke chapter 1 is where we're going, verse 26. You have to remember that until this time when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, there had not been any word from God in over 400 years. Everything was silent. And suddenly, Gabriel appears actually 6 months earlier. If you look in the first part of Luke chapter 1, he goes to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, to indicate his wife was going to have a baby. Then 6 months later, he appears to Mary and speaks to her about her incoming pregnancy. And it's interesting, Gabriel was only mentioned two other times in the Bible, twice in Luke chapter 1, once in Daniel, I think it's chapter 4, and Daniel chapter 8. Now, he may have done other things. It's the only time he's called by name. That's just a little trivia. It won't help you anything, but just thought you'd like to know that. But let's read the story and let me give you some things. Look at Luke chapter 1, starting verse 26. Now in the sixth month, and the reason that's there, it was 6 months earlier that Gabriel had been to Zechariah to talk about his wife becoming pregnant. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth. And let me just say this. Galilee, Nazareth, were not considered great places in the Jewish community. They really thought those folks were just kind of, we just put up with them. The Jewish people didn't like the Jews living there. Interesting that God would use a young Jewish woman from Galilee. Verse 27, he called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let me just say this and go back up to verse 27. You realize the word virgin is used twice in that verse. And I think that's important from our standpoint, from a theological standpoint. I get it that the world does not understand and would not agree with us that there was any way possible for a virgin to bear a child. I expect that from the world. But for us as believers, that's a key point to our whole theological stance on Christ and who he is. Because he was born of a virgin, what happened is Christ gave up his glory in heaven, but never did he give up his deity. And you have to remember that. And so that's why it was so interesting that Mary was picked. And then look at verse 28. "And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.'" Another thing, just think about it. Do you realize Angel Gabriel didn't worship Mary? He didn't say she was full of grace. He didn't pray to her, but he did greet her, and he did say she was highly favored. Remember, Mary was no different than you and I, except she was favored by God. And why was she favored? Because she was doing the things God had called her to do. And it's just a reminder for each one of us in this room, God can use any one of us that he chooses. The question is, will you be available? Will you be the kind of person God could use? Mary was exactly that. And then look at verse 29. But she was very perplexed at this statement. Let me just stop here and say this to you. You guys know that I am a scaredy cat. I mean, I'm scared of my own shadow. If an angel appears to me, just go ahead and call Moll Hearns and haul me off, because I think I'll die right there. I'm telling you, that would scare me to death. And perplexed, and that really means Mary was afraid. I'm right there with her. And isn't it interesting? She's perplexed at this statement. She kept pondering, what is this about? She's thinking about it. But let me tell you, when God does something in your life, when you bring the supernatural in with the natural, it is a fearful thing. It means you and I have to walk by faith. It means we have to do things we're not thinking about. That's what was happening to Mary. God was fixing to call her to do something that she had no idea of what it was going to involve. But then look, with all her fear, look what happens in verse 30. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Isn't that awesome that the angel Gabriel was aware of where she was at emotionally, and the whole time he said, "Mary, calm down, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. There's some great things fixing to happen for you." And so here's Mary. The angel is calming her down. But then I want to show you three things she discovered in this conversation with him. Number one, Mary found out that God's plans are eternal. God's plans are eternal. And this is true for you and I. And see, look at verse 33. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now, if I were to talk to each one of you personally in this room, most of you are stressing out, probably more the moms than the dads, about Christmas. What are we going to feed? What are we going to do with all the kids coming? In fact, I was talking to a set of grandparents this morning coming to early service that had all their kids and grandkids at the house yesterday. They were wore out. Our house is a wreck. It's going to take days to get it back to normal. I get it. That's the way most of us think. But you know what Mary discovered? The things of God are eternal. The things that you're worrying about today, will they really make any difference in the future? We need to be people who are thinking about eternity and what counts and make an investment in the things that are right. And I'll say this and just go ahead and make some of you mad. Some of you come in here every week and you've never made an investment in this church. Money, your time of service, your opportunity to do ministry. You're investing in the wrong thing. Just because you're sitting here today doesn't mean you're investing in the kingdom of God. Do something with what God's blessed you with. Because let me tell you, wood, hay, and stubble, so much of what's our life when we get to heaven is going to burn up. What you want to come out with is stuff worthwhile for God to be glorified when you get to heaven. So Mary learned that God's perspective was about eternity. And you got to think about her as a young lady. Now, she is probably 14, 15, we don't know. Very young. She's engaged. And you got to remember, now, in this time, when they're talking about engagement, it was just like marriage. You didn't get out of an engagement unless you filed a divorce. I mean, that's how serious the whole idea of engagement was. And she probably had dreams. I assume Joseph was the man of her dreams. She probably thought, man, we'll have a couple of kids. Hopefully one of them will be very successful. You know how we all think as parents. But all of a sudden, this angel has got a surprising message for her. He said, "No, you're going to be the mom of the Christ child." And suddenly her whole life is turned around. You found favor with God, but here's what God's going to do for you. And see, look at the eternal plan. He will reign forever. The things you worship, now you may not bow down to them and praise them, but we all have things in our lives we worship, whether they're our kids, grandkids, our job, our possessions, whatever. Some of those things that you're worshiping aren't going to last forever. But Christ lasts forever. And Mary discovered, hey, the things of God are forever. And they'll count. God works on a forever basis. And we should make our plans in the same way with an eternal value system. I think I've said this to you before. I remember as a kid, my dad would always say to us, "Does that edify the Lord Jesus Christ, what you're doing?" I got tired of hearing that. But he was absolutely right. The things in your life, the things you count so important, do they really edify the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you view it in terms of eternity, it should change how you view things. But the second thing that Mary discovered in this whole thing, in verse 32 and 33, is she discovered that God's promises were unfailing. His promises were unfailing. You ever have somebody break a promise to you? And I broke promises. And I've had them broken to me. I don't like it. But she discovered that God's promises never fail. Now you think about it. She grew up as a young Jewish girl. She knew all the promises about the coming Messiah. She knew what was coming, just didn't know when it was going to happen. And suddenly, now's the time. And Mary, you're going to be involved in that. Well, here are the promises she saw. See, in verse 32, it says that he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Now, here are two Old Testament scriptures that back that up. If you go to Isaiah 7:14, it says that, therefore, the Lord himself... Oh, you guys, oh, here it is. I'm reading the wrong verse. But as for you, wait a minute, I'm a verse ahead. Okay, let me turn around and read it. Therefore, the Lord himself, hey, it's the first time I've done this, okay? I'm not used to the big screen. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel, a virgin. That was a promise made. And then the second one in Micah 5:2, our pastor referenced this last week. What did it say? That child will be born in Bethlehem. Now, these were prophesied years before. And now Mary's seeing those promises lived out. Let me tell you, you need to know the promises of God's word. I probably say this every time I'm in this pulpit. If you're not reading God's word and learning his promises and living by his promises, you're missing out. Because they are for real. They are sure and they're never unfailing. And so in verse 33, Gabriel reveals that she will give birth to the promised one. And you know, he's saying this to her, and he'll reign forever. Well, now Mary's thinking, wait a minute. I'm going to bear the Christ child, and he's going to reign forever. You also have to remember that many times in the New Testament, the disciples were just as bad about this. They were thinking about Jesus coming as an earthly king. But you got to remember, God's dealing in eternity. He's going to reign forever. And Gabriel revealed to her, hey, you're going to give birth to this promised one. Now, she finds out how strong God's power is because look at verse 37. Now, you got to admit, if you were sitting there, you were Mary, hey, I'm going to have this child. In fact, verse 34, she says, how can this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. You got to remember, Mary's a sinner. We're all born in sin. I don't know if you know that, but you're a sinner. Just part of it. But you realize what makes the virgin birth so important is Mary was a sinner, but the Holy Spirit, see where it said, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you in the power of the Most High. That's what made Christ who he is. Fully man, born through a sinful woman, but fully God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's why in Psalms 51:5, what did David said? In my mother's sin, I was conceived. What he was talking about was his daddy was a sinner, his mama was a sinner, they came together, they produced a sinner. That's why the virgin birth is so important. Because if Jesus had just been born by ordinary people, he wouldn't have had that deity. See, and the thing to remember is Jesus gave up glory to come here. You got to think about it. As awesome as heaven is, he came to earth to live a life without sin. That's what made him perfect sacrifice for us, that we might have eternal life. But he did not lose his deity. Fully God, fully man. And so Mary's thinking about this. She's perplexed by it. But what she discovers now is that God's power is unlimited. God can do anything. See, in verse 36, the angel says, and behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. If you go back to Luke chapter 1, verse 5, Zechariah, Gabriel appears to him. Zechariah, his wife is old and she's never had children, wasn't expected to have children. Gabriel says, you're going to bear a child who turned out to be John the Baptist, cousin to Jesus. It was a miracle. It wasn't a different conception than what Mary had, but the fact that she was old and barren. And so the angel has reminded her, hey, behold, even your relative Elizabeth, who also has conceived a son in her old age, who was called barren, is now in her sixth month. Verse 37, here it is. For nothing will be impossible with God. Mary discovered that God's power was unlimited. God could do anything. Now, let me say this to you, but say it politely. Don't use that verse to say, now, God, this is what I want you to do, and I know you can do it. No. I mean, he could, but that's not the way to pray, to say, God, you got unlimited power. Do this for me. That's not the way to pray. The way to pray is to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you call me to do something, I'll do it. And see, so the Holy Spirit is saying in verse 35, hey, you're going to become pregnant even though you're a virgin. That only happens through the power of God. And you know what? That's true for you and I. God can do some awesome things in our lives. But then I want you to look at verse 38. And here's the crux of the whole matter. Mary decides to surrender to the will of God. And that's where you and I have to be. You know, Psalms 33:9 says, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded it and it stood fast. When God says, I can do this and I will do it, God will do it. And I think Mary came to understand that in her own life. Because look how she responds to God. And we all have a crisis of belief in our life at some time. There comes a time when you got to decide, hey, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow my own deal. Look what happens to Mary in verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Behold, the bond slave of the Lord. You know what Mary understood? She wasn't serving herself. She was serving God. That's why she found favor with God. So let me ask you, who are you serving today? Do you serve yourself and your pleasures and what you want and what you think are important? Or are you serving the Lord to say, Lord, what do you want to do with me? So here's Mary who says, I am a bond slave to the Lord. I am bonded to him to be whatever he wants me to be. And what's interesting, that really indicates the fact that she had her whole body committed to the Lord. Look at the same chapter, look at verse 46. Mary's gone to see Elizabeth, her cousin. There's great excitement over both of them being pregnant, and look what happens. And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my spirit, my Savior. Mary, in body, spirit, and soul, her whole being, she found all she needed in God. Is that true of you? Do you walk that way? Do you trust God for everything you need in your life? See, Mary said, okay, I don't get it. You found favor for me. Seems kind of weird. I'm sure that's what she was thinking. But if you say this is going to happen, I will trust you. I'm your bondservant. I'll do whatever you want to do. And may it be done to me according to your word. Do you submit to the Lord Jesus Christ that way in your own life? Do you think about the fact that his plans are eternal? That's what your plans ought to be. Do you think about his promises and they never fail you? And do you realize the power of the Holy Spirit lives in you? You can do whatever God's called you to do. The question is, do you do that? Do you allow God to do that? Mary did. She trusted God to be totally everything he said he could do and to take total control of her life. And you got to remember, Mary went through her whole rest of, well, not the rest of her life, but up to the time Christ died and rose again, being ridiculed. John 8:41, Luke 2:35, these are indications of verses that she put up a lot of ridicule, criticism, because they didn't think she really was a virgin with a Christ child. But you know what? When the day came that Christ died on the cross and he rose again, I suspect she said, man, this is what it was all about. So let me ask you this today. How about in your own life? Do you trust God for what you need? Are you willing to invest in what he thinks is important or what you think is important? It's been a long time ago. Our oldest son, Cody, is 38. And I think he was about 8 years old. Tyler and Shannon are a little younger. He might have been 8, 9. But we were in youth ministry. We didn't have any money. But I'd saved up, and it was a big deal to us then. But Donna wanted a new pair of gloves, leather gloves. I said, okay. So Cody went with me. We picked out some gloves. And I said, now, Cody, we're going to do something a little extra for your mom. We're going to go get 10 $100 bills from the bank. And we're going to put, we rolled them up each. And I wish I could tell you this was original with me, but I stole it from somebody else. We rolled up a $10 bill and put it in each finger of the gloves. 10 times 10 is $100 if your students didn't get that. $100. Man, I didn't have $100, but I was pretty excited. Cody was really excited. Christmas morning comes. He couldn't wait for his mama to open that present. And she opened it. She looked at the gloves and said, hey, I like those. Those are nice. Cody said, Mom, you got to try them on. You got to try them on. Because what did he know? He knew she would never know what she had till she put those gloves on. You know, a lot of you that way in this room. You know all about Christ. You know, you realize he can do things, but you have yet to really put your hand into the glove and say, okay, Lord, there's more here than I'm owning up to. Maybe today's the day that you, just like Mary that said, hey, may it be done to me according to your word. Maybe the day today is that you say, Lord, how do you want to use me? Lord, I want to invest in the things of you. I want to be about your kingdom. Lord, I want to know your word to the point that I really trust your promises. And I know as I look across this room, a lot of you I see, I know some of you go through some rough days, some hard days. You're in the middle of some battles. I know that. Man, isn't it good to know that God's promise that he never leaves you nor forsakes you is a promise you can hang on to? There are other promises. And isn't it awesome to know that our God has enough power to take you through every step of where you're at? The question is, are you willing to put that glove on and trust him for that? Mary, Lord, do it according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. What a great story. And Mary's obedience to God made all the difference for you and I. You see, when you think about God's promise, or not God's promise, but God's plan of eternity, that's what the cross was about. When Christ came to die on the cross, that was all part of God's plan. And then his promise was what? That we would have, I lost my point here. The cross was also a picture of the resurrection. Or that was God's promise. Hey, there'll be a resurrection. If Christ had died on the cross, hadn't rose again, it'd been for naught. But the promise was he's going to rise again. And the great thing about that power that God says I have that will do anything, allows you and I to become believers in Jesus Christ. Resurrection, cross, resurrection, and salvation. God did the same thing for me. He can do the same thing for you. Let me close it out this way. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads, close your eyes. You know how I like to close a service. I want you to take just a moment to talk to the Lord. I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your struggle is. But maybe today's the day for you just to stop and say, okay, Lord, I need to trust you. I need to trust your power. I need to see things from your perspective. I need to hang on to your promises. Would you trust him for that? I'm going to let you pray just silently right where you're at for about 30 seconds, and then I'll close this with a word of prayer if I could, please. Father, you know each of our hearts. You know where each one of us are at, where our struggles are. And yet, Father, you say, hey, if you'll trust me, if you'll believe my promises, if you'll let me empower you, you can use this in an awesome way for things that matter for eternity. May we be that kind of people. Father, this time of year, we get so wrapped up in presents and food and being with friends. We forget the whole reason is to celebrate a birth that allows us to have eternal salvation. For that, we say thank you. May we focus on you. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you for being in this room today with us. For it's in your name that I do pray. Amen.